This is episode number 425 with James Altucher. Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin. With Capella University's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Okay, quick math. The less your business depends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to NetSuite.com/greatness. NetSuite.com/greatness. Again, head to NetSuite.com/greatness. Welcome, everyone, to another special edition of the School of Greatness podcast. I'm excited because we've got James Altucher back on the show. He's been on a number of times. We'll have those linked up in the show notes at lewishowes.com/425 to go listen to those ones. But this is the first time he's actually been on video too. So we've got the full video interview on our YouTube page as well if you want to see the experience of James Altucher over video. For those that don't know who he is, James Altucher is an American hedge fund manager, entrepreneur, best-selling author, and got one of the biggest podcasts out there. He's founded or co-founded more than 20 companies and says he's failed at 17 of them. He's a frequent contributor to many of the top publications out there. And USA Today named his last book, Choose Yourself, as one of the 12 best business books of all time. And he's done it again with a new book called Reinvent Yourself. And it's been interesting to see him reinvent every area of his life over the last year and a half, 2 years, from his relationships to his actual physical possessions. He only owns like 15 possessions now. He's homeless and talks about what that's like, not having any possessions, getting rid of his houses, his homes, his stuff, and essentially leaning out in his entire life and reinventing every area of his life. His health is reinvented, everything. So in this interview, we talk about how to cultivate innovative ideas to reinvent ourselves. Also, the future of jobs and which ones are growing the most and which ones are going to be gone eventually. James's formula for reinventing yourself. The story of why James sold all of his possessions and decided to become homeless, and why you shouldn't think about what's missing in your life. Also, how if you're not reinventing yourself, we talk about this, how you're slowly fading away. If you're not constantly in a reinvention phase in some area of your life, what's going to happen to you? And I think that's important for everyone to take on and consume that information, that we're constantly in a state of reinvention or we're slowly fading away. And what does your reinvention look like? And are you doing the right things? So I hope you guys enjoy this one. If you do, make sure to tweet out or tag me on Instagram or Facebook. The link, lewishouse.com/425, and let me know what you think. What do you get out of this the most? Let me know and tag at Altucher as well over there. So without further ado, let me introduce to you the one, the only James Altucher. Welcome, everyone, back to the School of Greatness podcast. We have a legend in the house, James Altucher. Good to see
Lewis,
you, man.
I'm so glad we managed to do this. We were just talking the other day, and then you said, come on over and do a podcast, and up here I am.
It's perfect timing.
What a great studio you've got here.
Thanks, man.
You've got the Wall of Greatness up there.
Yes.
And I've got podcast envy. You've got so many great guests that I'm really impressed. There's Larry King. There's Tony Robbins. There's Arianna Huffington. There's pictures of you with everyone. Sarah Blakely.
Yeah.
Really great guest.
Thanks, man. And now you'll be on the wall.
Now I'll be on the wall.
This in person. Yes, exactly. You've got many books out. One of them is called Choose Yourself, which we had you on before to talk about this. How many books has this sold? 300,000? 200,000?
Actually, I'm over 500,000 books on that now.
500,000 books.
Yeah.
That's got to be in the top.
I'm really grateful for that.
It's got to be in the top 1% of 1% in terms of authors who sell a book.
Well, I've written now 18 books in total. If you add up the other 17, it still doesn't equal this book.
No way. So this sold the most.
Yes.
Wow. Why do you think that sold the most of everything?
Well, I think because we're in this time where two amazing things are happening. One is that technology is such that people can say, look, I don't need X, Y, and Z to do the thing that I love to do most. I can just do it. So I was sitting with a guy a few months ago, and he said to me, what I really want to do is make YouTube videos that are successful and sell ads on them. And I said, well, why don't you just start doing it? And he said, well, I don't have the right camera equipment. And so he got it. He got halfway there, because some people say, oh, I really want to do a TV show, but I don't have an agent, I don't have a network, I don't have a script writer, I don't have all these things. So people get stuck at that point. So he skipped that, and he said, okay, I can make videos on myself. But then he said, I don't have the right camera. And I said, let me see your iPhone. This one iPhone right here, this is better than all the video cameras from 10 years ago.
Exactly.
So just start making YouTube videos. It's the skill of storytelling, not the equipment that's going to make you successful or not. A great example is Michelle Phan. She was doing makeup videos. Her first 60 videos got no views. Then she did a video on how to do makeup like Lady Gaga. Mm. Totally blew up. Now she has a $30 million makeup company.
Wow.
But it was only then that she bought the equipment to do good videos.
Quality, yeah.
And that's the story with everybody. You have to, you have to ready, fire, aim. So you get ready. This is what I want to do. Then you just start doing it. And then as it starts to coalesce and you realize, oh, here are my mistakes and here's what's working, then you start to, aim. Okay, now I'm going to upgrade my equipment. Yeah. Now I'm going to upgrade my studio, whatever you need to upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But ready first, fire second, aim last.
I know. I think you really got to be in kind of more action mode than planning mode. You've got to put something out there and gain feedback from people. You can't just say, oh, I need to have everything look perfect first. And I think this is something that I did early on. I never had perfect design early on. I never had the equipment, but I was just so good at taking action consistently. And then I'd see, oh, here, I'm getting a little bit of results with this one thing. So let me put more time and energy in making this better.
No one will ever give you permission to create the future.
Yeah.
So because no one else knows what the future is. So if you're going to do something with impact right now, that means you're already creating the future, because that's what makes impact, is something that's different from the present.
Right.
So no one is going to give you permission to do that. You have to give yourself that permission. Now, this is almost cliche-ish, like give yourself permission, but I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it in your stories that you've told. I've seen it in my own life. People say right before that moment where I'm doing something completely insane, people will always tell me, you can't do that. And they're doing it out of they're not yelling at me. They're doing it because they care about me. You can't do that. Don't do that. It's scary. But that's when you're on to something. You're going to do it, and you might fail, and then you go on and do the next thing. Mm-hmm. It might work, and now you've done something well.
Yeah.
So with Choose Yourself, what I did here was this is a book that's already a couple of years old, but what I did here was I decided I'm going to self-publish. I did books with mainstream publishers,
yes.
and it didn't quite work for me. It worked for other people, but it didn't work for me. And so I said, I'm going to hire a book designer. I'm going to hire an interior designer. I'm going to hire good editors. I'm going to work with the best teams at marketing. And I professionally self-published this book, and it's been my most successful book, and I made the most money out of it.
500,000 sales. you also do different. You can also kind of manipulate the pricing. You can change it on Amazon for special weekends for like a dollar or 99 cents or $2, and then you can put it up to $20 or whenever you want to, right?
Yeah, you control everything about it. So, you know, even just a few months ago, there was an article that appeared in the New York Times which mentioned the book. So this book catapulted 3 years after it was published, because it's an evergreen book. It's still relevant now. But just a few months ago, it was number one for all nonfiction on Amazon.
Wow.
So it just on going. So the other thing that happened in that makes Choose Yourself very interesting is that the economy changed. So right now, you know, half of all jobs basically are held by people who don't need a college degree for those jobs. And what's happening soon is pretty much half of all jobs are going to be freelance jobs. You're going to be companies are outsourcing, companies are demoting people. Nobody's happy in their big jobs at corporations. So the economy is such that you kind of have to say, well, I need to choose myself now, because no one else, if you let anyone else choose you, then the results are not going to be as good.
Right.
If your boss chooses you for something, it's not going to be what you ideally want to do. You have to choose yourself for ultimate happiness and well-being. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing but the problem is, people don't know how to do it. So that's why I wrote now, Reinvent Yourself, to kind of get people to that point where, okay, well, I've been in this situation for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. I don't know how to make this change in my life, or I'm scared to, or how do I pay the bills while I'm doing this, or whatever. And so Reinvent Yourself was sort of a natural outcome of choosing yourself.
Yeah. You know, it seems like more and more, no one has the same job for more than a few years. You know, they're always looking for a new job to grow and to be inspired, and they're looking for new companies with a different vision. And then also, as entrepreneurs, we're constantly reinventing ourselves, you know, from my early stages of playing sports to doing LinkedIn, to doing webinars, doing online marketing, to now the podcast, to doing books, and just constantly evolving every year. I'm constantly looking for ways to reinvent myself personally, because I feel like that's the only way you can do it. If you try to stay to the same thing over and over for a long time, it's going to go out of style, or people aren't going to want it anymore, right?
Right. Well, look at it. Let's look at it in terms of music. Like even the best bands ever, okay, they have their kind of like glory period of 5 to 7 years, and then they spend the rest of their careers just touring on those,
playing their old hits.
Yeah, on their old hits. I can't think of that many bands. I mean, maybe you could think of where for 50 straight years they had hits. I mean, a great example, I mean, there's so many great examples, but like Bob Dylan, you can see every 5 years he reinvents himself. That's why he wins the Nobel Prize in Literature. The Beatles maybe reinvented themselves once, and then that was it. They went out. The Rolling Stones, they're always reinventing themselves, but when they tour, they play the old hits.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Madonna's a great example.
She
reinvents every 2 years, it seems like, to kind of like stay in tune with the themes of the, you know, the music world. But she's been doing it for, what, 25 years?
And Louis C.K. is a good example when he realized he needed to rewrite his act every single year. And Jerry Seinfeld was always fighting that. He would do the same act, but he's also rewriting his acts now. And, you know, but this is not just, we're talking about, you know, sports and comedy and artistic endeavors. This happens in professional endeavors as well. Like, you can't just work for the same company forever, because that company is changing and reinventing, and you might get demoted. You can't outsource your self-esteem and your sense of self-worth to another company or organization, because they're going to let you down. They're going to break your heart. So you have to be able to say, okay, well, they're no longer satisfying my needs. I'm going to jump ship and do this other either job or career. Mm-hmm. Think about your careers, not just jobs. Again, you've done courses on LinkedIn, you know, about LinkedIn. You've done webinars about LinkedIn. You've also played arena football.
Yep.
You've done handball.
Yep.
You're doing podcasts. You've written books. These are not just different jobs. They're different careers.
Yeah.
They're
different
ways.
Skill sets. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to develop these different skill sets. That's what this. And it's not like it was so incredibly hard that writing a book will be the only thing you do in life. You're going to do many things for the rest of your life. That's what life is here for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
You know, that's reinvention.
Do you think people are screwed if they don't start thinking about how they're going to reinvent themselves?
I think so, because I think, you know, Kevin Kelly, who is, he's got a great blog. I've known him for a long time. He has this great quote, and he's a founding editor of Wired magazine.
Yep.
He has this great quote: "Productivity is for robots." So what that means is, it's not about like rushing around, being as productive as possible 20 hours a day. And some people say that you have to like work, and then, you know, reap the benefits later. You know, what he's really saying with productivity is for robots is that everything that is not about you learning personally is going to eventually be outsourced or automated. And so you kind of have to have have your own ideas about what you want to be and what you want to do, and then, you know, work to create it, and then eventually either outsource it or move on. So, you know, and of course, Tim Ferriss talks about this in the 4-hour work week, where eventually he started to automate his processes. So he moved his work week down from 80 hours to 4 hours. That was the premise of that book. But I think it's more happening on a corporate level, on a Fortune 500 level, where entire layers of middle management and middle employees and even the workers working at the factory, that's all being automated or move to another country. What's going to happen when self-driving cars are driving everybody around? It's 90% of the auto industry is just going to disappear. And it's not like they're going to be just transferred into the self-driving industry. That's going to be a smaller industry. So
they're going to have to reinvent themselves.
They're going to have to reinvent themselves. That's just one industry. Same thing's happening in publishing, in the music industry, in accounting, in the legal industry.
Yeah, there's new software's coming out that makes everything simpler for accounting. You don't even, you know.
Yeah, and also, like, let's say you and I were doing a contract. We're going to be partners in some new business. I don't need a lawyer. I'll go to LegalZoom, download a document, and we'll sign it. So many things are happening now, and companies are catching up. Individuals are catching up. And, you know, hopefully the listeners are catching up.
Yeah, so how do we cultivate this idea of kind of reinventing, but it's more like innovative ideas for ourselves to create something new? How do we cultivate these innovative ideas?
Well, let me ask you a question. When you switched into, I don't know, did you play handball since you were a kid?
No.
Okay, so how did you decide, I'm going to be an Olympic level athlete in handball?
Sure.
And what was the first thing you did?
I saw it on TV. I watched the 2008 Olympics. I was sleeping on my sister's couch still with the, I just got my cast off from playing football from a surgery. And I watched the Olympics, and instantly I just had a new idea. I said, that's something I want to do. I just like, I'm going to play on the USA.
So something stirred inside you. Like you felt it.
It's like new dream was created.
And that happens to people, I don't want to say every day, but like once a year, a couple times a year, once a month, that you feel that, and you don't always pursue everything, right? I'm sure there's many things you would like to do that you don't pursue.
Yeah, don't have the bandwidth for, it's not the right timing or whatever,
But you already had training as an athlete, so you knew, okay, this is another sport. This is something where it's like almost like a backdoor into the Olympics or into the U.S. team, because who else would think to do this?
No one else is playing.
Right?
Yeah.
So it seems like an old man sport. I could probably squeeze in here and get good enough. Okay, so what did you do next?
So next, I started researching. I went online and started researching like USA handball teams in Ohio. There was nothing in Ohio. Then I said, okay, where are the teams in the country? And I started looking at like what are the best teams? Because if I'm going to learn this quickly, I need to learn from the best. So I learned that the New York team had won the national championships over the last few years. So I was like, okay, when I make enough money, I'm going to go to New York City and learn from these players, this team. And for about the next year, I was like, well, how am I going to do that? Because I have no money. I'm broke on my sister's couch. That's when LinkedIn started kind of opening up for me. And I started to make like a few hundred bucks a month teaching LinkedIn. So I said, okay, when I make enough money doing this, then I'm going to leave Ohio and go to New York City to like see what this is like.
And by the way, when you were in New York City, it's not like you stopped making money on LinkedIn.
No, I was still
doing
that.
No, these things were interweaving.
They're all interweaving. Yes. So about a year later, year and a half later, I started really making a lot of money, like just kind of started happening. Everything started to unfold and happen after a lot of action taking. And so I moved to New York City for a month. Now, the whole time for this year and a half, no one would respond to me on the USA national team for like the headquarters. No one would respond to me at the New York team. I would email people. I would call numbers. No one would get back to me.
How are you getting better during this time?
I was just training as an athlete, but I still hadn't played handball yet. But I still had this idea of like, I need to go and at least explore it so I don't regret not trying to see if I could make this. I was like, at least I got to go and try it so I can kind of eliminate it from my mind as something I want to do or don't want to do in the future. But for me personally, I know that if I think about something and I want to do it, if I don't at least explore it, I'll think about it for the rest of my life and I'll regret not trying, not giving it a go. So I say, okay, no one's getting back to me anywhere. I'm emailing people every month. I'm trying to call people every month. No one's getting back to me. So I say, screw it. I'm going to go to New York for a month. I had a couple speaking gigs in New York for like LinkedIn something and at some social media conferences. And I was like, I'm just going to go stay for the month. And I'm going to show up at their practice because they had the practice address of where they practice on the website for the New York team.
So you got ready.
I got ready by
constantly training.
Yep.
And then you fired.
That's it. I just showed up and I just showed up to practice when I said they were playing because no one picked up or got back.
No one gave you permission to do that.
No one gave me permission. I showed up and the first day I got there, I was the only American who was in the court. And it was all these former professional players in Europe who now moved to New York and kind of like live and play for fun.
So as a white man, you were basically the minority on the American team.
I was the minority. I was like, they barely spoke English. I was just like this outsider. And I got there and I go, hey guys, my name's Lewis. I'm here from Ohio and my goal is to make the Olympics and play with the USA national team. And they just all started laughing. And then I just showed up every single week. I ended up moving to New York. I didn't go back to Ohio. I stayed there for the next year and a half, and 9 months later, I made the USA team. But I was there every single week practicing and just like learning and taking action. And
So what you did was exemplifies something that, and this isn't original to me. I'll describe where it comes from. But in my book, I call this, you reinvent yourself by finding your plus, minus, equal. Mm-hmm. So your plus was all these people. You wanted to be around the best in the world.
People better than me. Yeah.
Right. So you could learn from them. So you have to find your plus. And at first, they're virtual. Maybe you watch YouTube videos of them. You read books about them.
Yep.
You study things that they write or photographs they take or videos they shoot. So then they became real for you because you actually joined them and started hanging around them. Then you have to find your equals because if you're just crushed every day in a game of handball, it's going to be hard for you. You need lessons, but then you need people who challenge you.
Yes.
So people who you can say, oh, I got that one more point off him. Mm-hmm. I feel challenged and you get better and better and you can measure your results.
And there were people there that were like that who were on the team who were kind of beginners. So I was
right. So you found your peer group. You found your new cohort. And then you find it's almost a bad word for it, but I call it the minus, which is people you could teach. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this was a catalyst for your reinvention, but ultimately you play people in handball that you're a lot better than, and then you could teach them, and that solidifies your learning.
Right.
So, and that's almost every reinvention. You know, you and I have both had hundreds of people on our podcast. They've all reinvented themselves, and I bet you in every single case, there's a plus, minus, equal.
Yeah,
so
sure.
that happens with all of them. Like, I talk to anybody from a rapper to a huge entrepreneur, like a billionaire entrepreneur. They've all had their plus, minus, equal.
Yeah, you start somewhere where you're going to learn from a mentor or a coach or someone who's at the top or someone who's greater than you, and you got to find, you know, it's the same thing with sports. You find teams that are kind of like your equals and you never know which way it's going to go.
When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. Like when you're trying to buy tickets for the best seat at your favorite team's big game. Or when you're hiring for your business and you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. With ZipRecruiter, you can find qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I believe finding the right team member is one of the most important steps in setting up my company for success. We like to ensure our new hires will be a good fit before they're even on the team. So I am grateful that I have ZipRecruiter's help when we want to grow the team fast. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/greatness. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And then you have others that you're teaching. And I think this is a platform that I have where I'm constantly sharing information from great guests like you, where I'm able to share new information to people that may not have access to it. So I think we're doing that constantly. We're interviewing people that maybe are greater results than us in certain areas. And then we also connect with other people on the same level. And then we're sharing it with people who are...
Sure. And you learn and kind of... it sort of has almost like a chemical transformation inside you, everything you learn, and how does it work for me? So this concept of a plus minus equal, I read in Ryan Holiday's book, Ego is the Enemy. Mm-hmm. Where did he get it? He got it from Frank Shamrock, who is a big mixed martial arts instructor who talks about the plus minus equal. So all of these things get passed around and passed around, and it's like a game of operator. They change with each person that you learn from. So everything you learn, like every time I do something where I think, okay, here I'm learning something new, I will immediately write down in a notepad or on my computer, here's the 10 things I learned from it. Wow. So I'm visiting LA this week. That's why I'm here in your studio. And the other day we went to the museum, The Broad. I don't know if you've been to it.
It's downtown, right?
Yeah.
Amazing, I hear.
Beautiful museum, all these pop art exhibitions. And I hadn't been in a museum in 20 years. I read every description and immediately, and it's all about creativity, of course, like all these amazing artworks. So immediately after I left, I wrote down, here's the 10 things I learned about creativity from just visiting The Broad for a couple hours. So with everything I try to learn, or if I have a podcast guest, I'll research and research and research, do the interview, and then right afterwards, here's the 10 things I learned from this guy.
That's smart.
So, and then that gives me a chance to potentially use other outlets too for the podcast. Like, okay, I can maybe write an article about this on LinkedIn or whatever.
What do you say is the last time you reinvented yourself? What was the thing? Or are you in reinvention right now? Or was it months ago? Or
I mean, definitely I am in reinvention. We're constantly in the state of reinvention. It's just a matter of deciding what it is we're reinventing. So I'm in the process of – I just wrote a children's book actually a month ago. I'm in the process of –
with Molly, right?
Yeah, Molly Hahn actually, who's a great illustrator. I'm in the process of writing some fiction. I'm running a business revolving around my content. And then another thing happened to me about 7 months ago, last March. I decided, okay, I am traveling around a lot. I'm staying in Airbnbs a lot. How about we try an experiment? I had leases on 2 apartments that were coming up. And I said, not only am I going to cancel the leases, I'm not even going to go back to the apartments, and I'm just going to throw everything out in the apartments. So I didn't want to do the Marie Kondo book, The Magic Art of Tidying Up? So she says, okay, minimalism is good, but pick everything up and decide if you love it or not. You know, hold everything to your heart and like, do I love this and I'll keep it, or I don't love this, so I'm going to throw it out. I decided I'm not going to love anything, and I'm just going to throw everything out. So I paid a friend of mine. Her name was Lisa. I said, Lisa, just go to these apartments and don't even call me. I'm not going to pick up the phone. Don't even call me. And you can either keep everything, throw everything out, donate everything, or sell everything and keep the profits for yourself. And so she went out there to one of my apartments. She had a whole truck. She took her husband, her kids, her nephews, nieces, cousins. Wow. And they literally, I think I had 3 or 4 beds in that house, computers, TVs, dishes, thousands of books, all my clothes, everything. And she just cleaned up. And I I remember I called up that landlord a few months later, and she said, "What did you hire a cleaning crew? That place was spotlessly empty." And one call I did pick up, my daughter Josie was in the apartment at the time, and she calls, and I didn't explain to her what was going to be happening. And she's like, "Dad, this entire family of people just walked into the house, and they're pulling like the beds out. Is this okay?" And I'm like, yeah, just... And she said, "They're pulling my bed." I said, "Just let them take everything."
Wow.
So now, of course, my she lives normally with her mom, but she was happened to be at the house that weekend. So, but and Lisa did call me up one time, and I picked up the phone, and she said, "Are you sure you want me to throw out your diploma? I'm throwing everything else out." She threw trophies out that I had made when I was 18. I mean, that I'd gotten one when I was 18 for chess or whatever, and she said, "Are you sure you want me to throw out your diploma? It's really nicely framed, and yeah, I can see you spent money on this." And I'm like, "Absolutely, I want you to throw out my diploma. I have not even thought about my diploma. I can't even remember what I learned in college, like let alone care about my diploma. So definitely don't give that one away. Burn it. Just throw it in the fireplace." And so she did.
Wow, amazing. So, and then the New York Times wrote a front page article about you, and what section was it?
Oh, it was the front page of the fashion section.
Fashion
on Sunday.
Section.
So you can see me.
That's huge.
So
yes.
I worked that for at least 3 or 4 weeks afterwards. Like every time I saw my two daughters, I was like, "You have to listen to me because I'm a fashion icon right now." And they didn't know how to respond to that. They were
That's hilarious.
"You're not a fashion expert." But yeah, that was a real interesting article.
Because they kind of picked up that you were doing this experiment, that you were getting rid of everything in your life, all
right.
Physical possessions.
Everything. I mean,
and you have what, 13 items, 20 items, or what?
Yeah,
you have?
Basically, I max out at 15.
Items.
Yeah. So if I buy something new, I have to, like, if I buy a new T-shirt, I bought this T-shirt the other day, I have to throw a T-shirt out. So and by the way, people think, "Oh, that's expensive." No, you could go into a pharmacy and buy a pack of three T-shirts for $12. So
yeah.
It's not so expensive. So but I carry basically all my belongings with me. So
everywhere you go,
I live in your apartment right now.
Well,
this
that's
is
amazing.
My. If you want to send me mail, this is my address right now. Lewis's apartment,
School of Greatest headquarters. Yes.
Yeah.
So you have like a laptop. What do you have? A phone? A laptop?
Yeah, laptop. Phone. I actually got rid of my tablet because you could read on your laptop or your phone or whatever. And then I just have like a couple outfits.
That's
and like
it.
Toothpaste, toothbrush. But I stay in Airbnb, so they always come equipped with like
towels,
you know, shampoos
and
towels and furniture. You never actually really need furniture. Now, someone will say, "Oh, well, it's better to own and rent to me." Maybe that's true. But for me, I get to experience all these great houses and locations all around the city and the world, and live, you know, experience other people's lifestyles, and by the way, just live my own lifestyle that I want to live at the same time. So,
wow. Do you feel like you'll do this for a long time, or is this just a reinvention phase that maybe it'll?
I feel like I will do this today. I don't worry about a long time from now. So many people think, "Oh, well, I'm going to settle in St. Louis and live there the rest of my life." I could die tomorrow. I'm going to be on a plane tomorrow. Maybe the plane will crash. I don't know. Certainly a big risk to go 35,000 feet up in the air at, you know, 600 miles an hour. That's pretty risky if you think about it.
It is.
I'm taking a huge risk tomorrow. And if I survive it, then maybe I'll live this way another day.
There you go. But you're not thinking like, "Oh, in a couple of years, I'll have my own place again." You're just like, "This is all I'm thinking about right now.
This is all I'm thinking about right now."
Yeah. Amazing.
It's too stressful. You know, that's the whole point, really. It's not just about giving up possessions. People call that minimalism, but that could actually be really stressful, giving up all your possessions. The real key is giving up the things you think about. And so then you could focus, then you let creativity in, and you could focus on, "This is what I really want to do, is figure out, you know, interesting things to talk to Lewis about, or interesting things to write about, or interesting things that are funny to me, or businesses I can start, or things I can do with my own business."
Yeah.
So, and so on.
Mm. What's the most meaningful thing in your life right now?
Well, I think, and they work hand in hand. I think, I mean, and by the way, there's a cliched answer, which is my two daughters are the most meaningful thing to me. But that whenever someone says that, I think to myself, that's a lot of BS. Because first off, I really hope my daughters, and this is the job of being a father and a parent, is that you want them to kind of be adults and grow up and move away. And I love them, and they'll always be in my life, and they'll always be the people closest to me. But I did my job. They're good kids. They're about to be adults, and bam, done.
Mm. Okay, besides family, which is everyone's answer, what's the most meaningful thing?
I think that my writing and podcast interweave with each other. So I really believe in a I really believe that my own personal experiences of failing to reinvent myself, constantly failing, and then how I got over that over and over and over again, and then failing again, and then getting over it again. This is, to me, meaningful to write down, because then I get responses like, oh, I'm going through this right now also, and this gives me some clues as to what I should be doing. And that's all writing is that we're all detectives in this great mystery of life, and all we can do is share clues with each other. There are so many self-help writers who just say from top down, this is what it means to be a leader. I don't want to know about that. I want to know when people failed to be a leader and how they came up from it. And then that might give me a clue as to how I can be better at leadership or being a leader in my own life. And the same thing with reinventing and choosing yourself. I don't have the answers for anybody else. I just know what I did to experience these things. That's why I asked you what you did, because I learned from what you did. Mm-hmm. I never thought of that. Like, oh, I'm just going to show – if I'm interested in something, just show up where the team is practicing.
Right.
What a great idea. I never heard of that before. That should go in my book.
Right, exactly. It's not too,
because I self-published, by the way, maybe it will go in my
you
book.
Can add it up.
I still got 3 weeks to go.
There you go. Yeah, reinvention. What do you think, you know, in the previous, we've had you on, I think, 3 times now. You're the second most interviewed person on this show.
A great honor.
The second most.
Who's the most? Who's beating me?
Got him, Chris Lee, who's like a leadership transformational coach. Yeah. So, and we'll link up all the previous ones to everyone else. If you haven't heard those, make sure to check those out.
You've been on mine quite a bit too, by the way.
I have been on, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
No problem. You're coming on again when your next book comes out.
That's right. That's right. I'm curious, what's the biggest lesson you learned? You know, if you guys listen to the previous ones, you talk about all these different mistakes you made in business of making millions and then losing it all in like 2 days every time or whatever, over like a summer every time.
Yeah.
You lose $1 million a month.
It would happen so blindingly fast. It would be crazy. Like, I am really one of the least intelligent people
on the planet. Most brilliant, and then you're the least intelligent.
I'm the least intelligent person who's ever been on this podcast.
There you go. So. Okay. What do you think is the biggest lesson looking back at all those mistakes or those things that you did? What do you think is the biggest lesson you learned? And do you have any regrets over the last 20, 25 years in your business kind of career?
You know, I will answer the first question first. I think that the biggest lesson I've learned is how common the experience is of making a mistake and coming back from it. So there's this, you know, I think things happen in the reverse order of how people think they happen. People think things happen in beginning, middle, end. What really happens is end, and then despairing fog where you can't even see 2 feet in front of you, and then beginning. So again, I'm going to ask you, what happened? You just described a story. You were sleeping on a couch at your sister's. That tells me that there was an end.
Yes, my
to
football
something.
Career was over.
Right. So you started your story with an end.
Mm-hmm.
So and then there's a fog. Like you saw something on TV and you didn't know how you started doing research. You didn't know how to get involved. Nobody was returning your calls. You know, they laughed at you.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's this fog in the middle. It's not even, you don't even know it's the middle because it's so foggy. And you don't even know what to do. Like, oh, should I go to New York and just show up there? What's going to happen? And then there's the beginning. Then now you're on the team.
Yeah.
Bam, beginning. And that story's not over yet, right? Like you're going to continue to be on the team. So we haven't reached an end to that story.
Right.
But that was the story, though. That's how you ended the story, was you did end, fog, beginning.
Mm.
And so I think that's the commonality of all of these reinventions and all these stories of failures and mistakes and growth. It's not like your failure or my failure. It's everybody goes through this. And everybody I've had on my podcast has gone through this where – We end something and it didn't work out the way we thought it was going to work out. It wasn't like, oh, I did it. I made it to the Olympics and got 7 gold medals and now life is over. It's like, no, you life continues. Something bad happens and you're on your sister's couch and then there's that fog and then there's the beginning. And all these there's a commonality to all these stories. So when I've lost, let's say I've lost all my money, I've lost all my belongings, I've lost my family, marriage, everything – they all have the same thing in common, which is something ended. I didn't know what to do. I started with recapturing that what I call this daily practice that I talk about in Choose Yourself, where, okay, rather than worrying and regretting what happened, I got to focus today on my physical health. I've got to be around people who are good for me. I've got to be creative, and I've got to be grateful and compassionate for what I have. So I have to every day check those boxes. And then, you know, bit by bit, I climb out of the hole that I had dug for myself, and a new beginning can start. But it always gets back to kind of following this daily practice and making sure today I check those boxes. Because the only way I can predict a good tomorrow is if today is a good day. Mm. And today is a good day only if I'm not sick in bed, I'm not around bad people, I'm not doing boring things, I'm doing creative things, and I'm not complaining. I'm being grateful instead of complaining. You can't complain and be grateful at the same time.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of bad days still? Or have you kind of like worked it so well that you know exactly what you need to do when you wake up to when you go to bed?
Yeah, I have days where you know, the devil always flirts with you. You know, you and I don't mean this in a religious way. I'm sort of irreligious, but you're always your brain wants to complain all the time. Like, oh, I'm not getting enough food, or they're not returning my phone calls from the national handball team or whatever. Like, your brain always wants to kind of discourage you. And I just have to say, okay, this is what my brain is telling me. But the reality is I'm going to check the boxes on physical, emotional, mental, spiritual health. And I just always have to pull myself back to that whenever I feel those demons coming up, because they come up every single day.
They do.
Like, there's always, you know, I'm like a shy person, for instance. So whenever I'm about to do a podcast, like, let's say I'm going to do a podcast with, I don't know, Barack Obama. Right. I've never done a podcast with him, but let's say even he agreed to do all my podcasts. I can guarantee you 10 minutes before the podcast starts, I am praying that he's about to cancel. Because I'm just too nervous. So yeah, too nervous. We were having a coffee down the street from here, just so I always make sure I get to a place early. I scope it out, and then I go get a coffee, and so I'm in the area. I was praying you would say, oh, I got to cancel. Lewis' house just canceled. Okay, all right, I'll just have a coffee here and go home.
Chill, yeah. No stress, right?
Go home and watch TV or something.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. I'm glad I didn't cancel, so you're here.
By the way, I didn't answer the second question, which is regret. I really try hard not to regret anything, because then I wouldn't be here talking to you. Which is a cliche. I hate doing any cliche, but I force myself not to regret.
Yeah, there you go. Is there anything missing in your life right now? I find that you're constantly reinventing, you're purging, you're creative, you're doing things that looks like you want to be doing. Is there anything missing?
There are a ton of things missing from my life right now. I never think about them. I can list 1,000 things that are missing from my life right now, but I won't start that. That's one list I will not start.
Okay.
So
you don't focus on those things.
Never.
Do you ever think about them and say, okay, I'm going to go create this, the thing that's missing, or I'm going to make it happen, or do you just allow it to be?
I mean, if I'm sitting and there's a blank piece of paper, I don't feel like I'm missing the words that should go on this paper. I just start doing it.
But I mean, if you're like, you know, if you're missing peace, inner peace, and you're stressed out all the time, and you're like, yeah, I'm missing peace right now, would you go create that or no?
No, because I know if I stick to being healthy and being around good people and being creative every day and being, you know, compassionate and grateful for the people around me, then there's no such thing as inner peace. So you'll never reach it, but I'll get closer and closer to feeling well-being.
Yeah.
So well-being, you could think of it in many different ways, as opposed to happiness. You could think of well-being as having good relationships, getting more and more competent at something, and feeling more and more of a sense of freedom. Mm-hmm. So, and freedom could be defined in lots of ways, but you could feel freedom even if you're stuck in solitary confinement in a jail. You could feel good about, you know, being creative and being happy and so on. Yeah.
This is the beginning of the year right now when this is coming out. So at the end of 2017, what would you like to accomplish where you say, like, wow, that was a great year. Like, that was, I couldn't have asked for anything better. I created everything I wanted to do. What would that be?
Well, I never think about it in terms of a year, but I will think about it in terms of a day. And so all those things I mentioned of, you know, that daily practice I do of being healthy in those four areas. I want to be 1% better every day. And now it's hard to compound that. Like, what does it mean to be 1% emotionally more healthy? There's no way to quantify that. But if I think in those ways, it compounds. So 1% a day compounded is 3,800% a year, which means you're 38 times better than you were at the beginning of a year. So that's what I aim for. I hope to be 38 times better in my creativity, in my emotional health, in my physical health. Now, I don't know what that means. It doesn't mean I'm going to lose, you know, I'm going to have 38 times the muscle or anything like that. But I don't know what it means, but I just want the mindset of improving every day. Yeah.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I've learned the hard way that constantly holding on to your emotions and repeatedly choosing to not talk about your feelings will only make you feel worse and worse. And up until about 10 or 11 years ago, I was afraid to talk about my trauma that I experienced. And I know we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to fit your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Lewis today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LEWIS.
I feel like you're one of the smartest guys I've had on who knows how to take an idea and turn it to a lot of money. Quickly. You've done this many times in previous companies. You're doing this now with your own business. I feel like you have an incredible lifestyle where you can live and travel at any time. Nothing holds you back in terms of physical possessions or rent or car or whatever. What are you doing right now to generate money? I know we talked about this the other day, but what's the different things you're doing from your ideas to creating content, and you package it in such a beautiful way to generate a lot of revenue. Can you break it down for us?
Sure. So I mean, I do a lot of different things. I have a business where I've spent many years angel investing. Mm-hmm. So I'm invested in a lot of different companies, and those are, you know, bit by bit, like, let's say there's one a year has an exit. That's good. But that's like a side business. I never even think about it. Like, I don't do any angel investing anymore. I sort of did it all. Here's the thing about angel investing, and then I'll quickly go on to the business I have. The thing about angel investing is you don't invest and then a couple days later you make money.
No, it's like 8 to 10 years, right?
Yeah, like I have investments from 2009 that are going great, but I'm probably not going to see money from them until 2020.
Wow.
So that money, and you have to invest like a good amount of money for it to have impact. That money, I didn't know even in 2009. It's like you say goodbye to it for 11 years.
Yeah.
So.
And you may never get it back.
But, you know, now, since most of my investments were in the period, let's say 2008 to 2011, when things were kind of at a low, I don't invest at the moment. And those investments are now I've seen the zeros have kind of happened already. They sort of disappear early on.
Right.
And then now what I'm left with are all the companies that are growing. So I'm pretty happy with what's left. But
that's a side thing. Yeah.
That's a side thing. So I decided about a year and a half ago, March 2015, I'm going to I decided a little before then, but this is when it launched, end of February or early March 2015. I'm going to take my writing and my podcast, and I'm going to kind of move it up a level, which means I'm going to hire support staff, researchers, a team to help me, you know, a team to help me with distribution, a team to help me make my podcast much better. I also saw a lot of things that I wanted to address that nobody was addressing. For instance, there was so much bad finance advice out there. I decided, okay, look, people, this is something I don't normally write about, but people need help with this. I'm not going to do this for free because I'm going to hire people to help me. And I want to, I think in order for something to be a really good idea, it needs to be sustainable and it needs to generate profits. So I decided I'm going to make a business around my writing. So 99% of my writing and podcasting, I give away for free. The same as I always did. My good writing, I give it away for free. But then I have a monthly report that I put out that is a little bit extra. So a little bit extra on how to make a new business, how to self-publish a book, tips on nutrition, tips on just all these different ways to have a better life. And sometimes I write the stories. Sometimes through my Rolodex, I find other people to write the stories and I let them link to whatever. You know, if somebody is like a really one of the best nutritionists in the world, they'll write a piece about nutrition for the coming new year or whatever. So I sell that. It's like 20 to 30 pages a month. And it's a monthly subscription. And then I have other products. One is I used to run a hedge fund. So I know a lot of hedge fund managers. So I will, once a month with my researchers, I'll reach out to different hedge fund managers I know, and I'll see what they are buying and selling in the stock market. And I'll pick the best ideas I could think of. Mm-hmm. And I'll say, look, this is, you know, Warren Buffett maybe bought, I don't know, Facebook at this price, and now it's trading 20% lower. So, it's probably a good buy. Because if Warren Buffett bought it 20% higher, it's as if someone like Warren Buffett is working for me for free,
right,
and I buy things at a discount to him. So how could it's hard for it to go wrong, particularly if I find the 20 best Warren Buffetts out there and diversify among all of them. So I sell that for a much higher price.
Yes.
So, and then I have a couple of products like that. And I have a monthly book club, like where I go in depth into my favorite books of the month. So I have like four or five products, and the podcast makes money, the books make money. So all together, we started in March 2015. It's the end of 2016 right now. Since the day we launched, we've generated about $30 million in revenues.
Amazing.
So it's super profitable, and it's helped a lot of people. Like, we get testimonials every day. By the way, I'm not suggesting anyone buy any of my products. Don't buy them. You can get just as much value just reading my free stuff. Stick to my free stuff. If you think I shouldn't be selling anything, like a lot of people say, oh, you're selling your book for 99 cents. You're just in it for the money. Like, if you think I'm making a lot of money off of a 99 cent book, then you're out of your mind.
Right.
And I have about, you know, a dozen or so employees. One thing I realize is I'm really horrible at being a CEO. So I've outsourced I hired someone to run the business. I don't really interact that much with the people in the business, but they all do an excellent job. They're all like A-plus people, and they all do an excellent job. And I just write and feed them writing every day.
Mm.
And then they figure out how to do it and how to package it into products, and they do an excellent job.
What do you feel like every online content creator should be focusing on in terms of products? Should it be one-off, or do you really love the continuity? Because it sounds like you have two or three different continuity programs.
Well, you need continuity, because you don't want to – the best thing in the world is subscription revenues, and you want to hold yourself to it as well. Like, I know that I need to generate higher quality content next month than the month before. So it pushes me to be even more successful the next month than I was the month before. People need to have a return on investment if they're paying you for a product. So it really puts the creative challenge on me. It's almost a creative constraint. And so I think continuity is important. I also think not to be afraid to charge. This was a big challenge for me, was to asking people for money. And that was a challenge. I felt bad doing it. And people were like, why is he asking for money? He used to give stuff free. I still give the same amount. I still give more stuff for free now.
Yeah.
But I think the main thing when people are just starting out is don't even focus on things that you're going to charge for. The first thing is build up goodwill.
Yeah.
So have a vision about what you think the world should be like. Write quality stories, not just content. I don't like the word content. Write quality stories about your vision and how it relates to you personally. And then don't just create your name.com and put all of your content there and nowhere else. Like, write on LinkedIn, write on Medium, write on the Huffington Post, write on as many websites as you can. Write for newspapers, write for television networks, have a podcast, write a book. Be on as many media as possible and because nobody is going to your destination site anymore. I mean, they might in some special cases, but in general, the audience on LinkedIn isn't going to say, okay, now that I've checked LinkedIn, I have to go to jamesaltucher.com because there's too many places to check out then. So make sure you go where the people are. You know, it's like Wayne Gretzky saying, you know, skate to where the puck is, put where the puck is going, not where it is. So people are going to all these aggregator sites, and that's where you want to publish. Then, very important, you got to build an email list because you need to be you need to have people enroll in what your vision for the world is. You need to have people basically raise their hand and say, you know what? I kind of agree with what this guy is saying, and I want to hear a little bit more about what he has to say. So build an email list is really important because those are also going to be the people who are you know, your friends, your contacts, the people who are most likely to help you build your business by, you know, saying, yeah, he's writing about all this finance advice. I agree. He's hiring all these people. I'm going to subscribe to this. There's value here. So your email list are the people who value what you do the most. And I think those two steps, syndicating your content everywhere, producing content as much as possible and in as many different forms as possible, and then creating an email list. From there, if you just do those two things, you will be able to create a valuable business.
Mm. What do you suggest people say, great, syndicating, how do I get on all these different platforms?
Well, I mentioned places that are like open source. Yeah. Medium, anybody can publish to. LinkedIn, anyone can publish to. You know, we were talking about Instagram earlier. I think it was off before we started the podcast. Mm. What I do is, with Instagram, I don't just post a photo like everyone else does. I'll take the caption and make that an article. And play with the medium that you're choosing and do fun things with it so it'll attract a new audience. And Instagram, nobody can stop me from publishing on Instagram.
Right.
It's not like they have to. I choose myself. I don't want to be chosen to write anywhere.
Right.
So either they, you know, ask me if, you know, either a company will ask me, hey, can we republish this article or publish something by you? Or I just directly syndicate.
Yeah.
But because I want to focus my time on reading, writing, and podcasting and experiencing things, I hire people to help me do the syndication.
Mm-hmm.
So it costs me money. And so that means some things I have to charge for. So that's how a business gets built.
And what's the most profitable product that you have? Is it the lower end product, the higher end product, or?
It's hard to tell because it's a young business still. It's been a year and a half. But, you know, I'll just be honest about the earnings. So last year we had about $17 million in revenues and $1.6 million in earnings. This year we'll have maybe $12 million in revenues and $2 million in earnings. So we moved down on the revenues, but we moved up on the bottom line because I wanted to focus more on the bottom line this year. I saw how it's easy to get revenues. It's hard to make profits.
Yeah.
So I focus much more on the bottom line, so 20% improvement there. But I don't really know yet. You know, when you have four or five products, it's actually complicated to figure out where you're making money, what sources. It's hard to tell whether the cheaper products or the more expensive products make more money. I think I'll know within another year or two. I'll have a better sense.
Sure. But you like having them all right now.
Yeah. Now you need them all. You need free, cheap, expensive.
Yeah.
So because free shows you who has signed up for your vision of the world. Cheap shows you who believes in it so much and who is being helped so much that they're willing to really value what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then expensive shows you, okay, there are some things out there where people are even valuing it even more. And so I'm going to put more energy into that too.
I like that. What's a question that you wish more people would ask you?
You've asked a lot of good questions. I don't know. I think a lot of people ask me, do I feel happier since I've thrown everything out? And or I should say that's the wrong question. I think the right question is, how has my life improved since I've thrown everything out? Because I don't think I'm necessarily happier since I've thrown everything out. I think, though, my life has improved in that I never, ever have to think about any of those things.
Mm.
So sometimes that means the good thoughts and the bad thoughts. So I'm not necessarily happier because I miss some of the good thoughts that some of my possessions, like for instance, I had an original sketch by one of the original animators of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, of
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I had an animation cell from the opening sequence of the 60s show I Dream of Jeannie. I was a collector. I have all these
cool
collectibles.
Stuff.
I had a Dr. McCoy doll from the 70s. So I collected things, and so I'm a little sad not having those things. I used to have all my books in a big case, every book I had written in every language. And trophies and things like that. All that is gone. So it's a little sad for me there. I have pictures, photographs of when I was a kid, photographs of my family, all gone. So that's why I'm not recommending this as a way of life for anybody, because it's painful too. But what's better is that it does completely free me up for creating new experiences in my life and totally brand new from scratch with a blank slate. And I really enjoy that. And it gives me a pleasure in life that I haven't had before. So it's a new type of pleasure and experience.
I like that. Okay, final few questions for you, because I'm smelling the food being made right now, so I'm getting hungry.
We have a vegan chef making bacon flavored vegan food.
Amazing.
I'm really looking forward to it.
It's gonna be good
with our mutual friend who we didn't even know was a mutual friend.
Yes, Bill Glazer. Yes. One of the questions is, I think we asked this the last time. It's called the Three Truths. I don't know. I can't remember if you said this the last time when it was. But
I have, by the way, a really bad memory.
Okay. Yes.
So I think I have early onset Alzheimer's. I'm a little bit worried about
that. That's not good.
Yeah. That's why I don't know if it's just an age thing but I think eliminating most sugar from your diet actually helps with. Because they're thinking of renaming Alzheimer's Diabetes 3. I've heard that.
Really?
Maybe it's just a rumor. I don't know. I just don't really remember things, so I'm just going to cut out sugar.
Gluten and sugar probably will help. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Well, this is called the Three Truths. This is what we want people to remember you by.
Okay.
So something that everyone will remember.
If I have a trouble remembering it, I can call any of your listeners and they'll tell me.
They'll tell you. The three truths is you've written incredible books already. You're going to write many other great works over the years. Knock on glass. And if this was, many years from now, it's your last day and you get to, and everything was erased. Choose Yourself is gone. It sold millions of copies. Reinvent Yourself. And the other million books that you write are gone for whatever reason. And all people have to remember you by are these, because there's no possessions you have to give anyone, obviously, because you don't have anything. But what they have is a piece of paper, and you write down three things you know to be true about all of your experiences in life that you would pass on. These could be three lessons, three truths, something that you would share with your family, but also a message to the world about everything you learned. What would be the three things you know to be true?
I'm going to go to four things.
Okay.
Because this is the thing I always get back to all the time, which is what I wrote in Choose Yourself. And I rewrite it, in other places. But physical health, emotional health, every day, 1% improvement every day, creative health, and spiritual health, which just means gratitude. It's so important. It saves my life. Like, literally, when I don't do that every day, I go right into the sewer. And I mean that in every possible way you could possibly imagine. And when I do that, it reaches me to new heights in ways that I would never expect.
Wow.
So that's really it.
That's
other
cool.
than that, I really don't give a shit, actually, because once I'm dead, I'm dead.
Right.
Like,
there you go.
It's sort of like before you were born, who was missing you? Nobody. So for 15 billion years, nobody was missing me before I was born, because they didn't even know I was going to exist. And then there's going to be another trillion years after I die. So you just kind of like try on this food body as like a clothing for like 80 years or so, and then it's gone.
All right. Okay, there you go. And is there a process every morning where you go through these four categories? Do you write them down? Do you meditate? Is there a process? Or is it kind of just throughout the day?
I do roughly think how I'm going to achieve these, do this 1% improvement each day, and it's going to happen differently, and every single day will happen differently every single day.
Yeah.
But really, what it is I never do a to-do list, because I think to-do lists are very stressful. Because it's like, oh, it's halfway through the day and I didn't call back Lewis or whatever. But at the end of the day, I'll think of an I did list. So the first things on my I did list was, well, did I do the physical, emotional, creative, spiritual?
That's cool.
So always do an I did list, never do a to-do list.
That's cool. Okay. Before I ask the last question, I want to acknowledge you for a moment, James, like I do all my guests, for your incredible creativity and your
thank you, Lewis.
Your wisdom. I feel like whenever I'm around you, I assimilate this like wealth of wisdom that you have. In terms of
vice versa, I'm gonna show up for the national chess team. I'm here, boys. Let me in.
Exactly, and you just have such incredible generosity with your way of being, with your energy, with your wisdom. You're so free in sharing constantly the things you do. I never feel a sense of like holding back of information from you with me as a peer, but also with your listeners and with everyone in your life. So the fact that you've been through so much, you've learned so much, and you constantly are willing to share it with everyone, for me, is really inspiring.
Thank you, Lewis.
Lifts me up, and I feel like I get smarter every time I'm around you.
Well, I will acknowledge you. I will say, and this is in particular your podcast, because, and that's why I'm so grateful to be on it. And not that we're just sort of going back and forth here. That's what it just seemed like. But I listen to your podcast often to prepare for my own, not just when we have – sometimes we have similar guests, but sometimes we don't. But you're a great interviewer, and I listen – yours is one of the few podcasts I listen to just to keep me in shape for my own. So
I appreciate it.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hope this particular episode matches up.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. Before I ask the final question, where can we connect with you, and where should we get the book, the new book, Reinvent Yourself?
Well, Reinvent Yourself, you can get it on Amazon, and right now you can get it in either paperback, or, you know, once this is out, you can get it in paperback or ebook. And
they should bundle it and get Choose Yourself at the same time.
Yeah.
Are you going to do a discount the first week for this as well?
Well, that's 99 cents. It's as cheap as Amazon lets me go. And you can find me. Here I just said don't go to anybody's destination site, but you can find me at jamesaltucher.com or LinkedIn, Medium, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah,
I'm trying to build my Instagram following, so Instagram at Altucher, and that's it.
There you go. Okay, and the final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Just having well-being every single day. Just doing those four things every single day, that will get you to greatness.
James.
There's no way out.
James Altucher, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate
Thank you, Lewis.
Yes. There you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this interview with James. If you did, please share this with your friends. You can use the podcast app right now if you're on your phone. Just click on the share button and tweet it out. Tag me at Lewis Howes and at Altucher. And if you're on Instagram, snap a little screenshot and put it on your Instagram story and let me know that you're listening. I'd love to connect with people who are tagging on Instagram stories as well. And also make sure to check out the YouTube channel. We've got all the videos of the interviews over there, so you can connect and leave a comment below the YouTube channel at YouTube/Lewis Howes. You guys mean the world to me, and I want to know your thoughts about reinvention. Have you been reinventing yourself over the years, or do you get stuck from time to time and you're not sure how to reinvent, or you're afraid of what it might look like if you reinvent? If you leave an identity behind and you recreate a new identity, are you afraid of that to happen? So let me know. Share with me anywhere you feel comfortable on social media what it's like to reinvent. Are you afraid of it? Are you great at it? Do you see value in this? And share with me your thoughts. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for sharing this out. Thanks for being a part of this community. And you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.